call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back, looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one
like
me.
And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, the funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we have the best media, the best podcast, specifically for the black community, but benefit all communities. All you got to do is visit the website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You hear me? Where we get it in and it's really going down inside. Hey, we got a good podcast today. We got guests, Cam and Mike, coming back from the Nothing Over the Moon podcast. So those gentlemen, every time they come through, we have a good time. We get it in. So I'm excited about that. And you know, I got my list of topics. I got my things, and I ain't trying to waste too much time. But real quick, just let you know that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog series, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on their website at www.ontheshouldersone.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG. The On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face and virtual educational sessions, classes, keynote speaking engagements, lectures, whatever you need from On the Shoulders of Giants, whether it's face-to-face, virtual, or digital, they have the information for you. All you got to do is access it. And remember, www.ontheshouldersone.com, where you got access to African history at your fingertips, the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. Write it in. Hey, man, I ain't trying to waste too much time. We got to get it in. My homeboy's going to be on the line in a minute. But you know what time it is. You know what time it is. We got to start this thing off right. Everybody know we bust it down tonight. We got to start this thing off right. Everybody say 4th of July. Now, we don't celebrate the 4th because we black at the black. The HBCU spotlight time. I know some of y'all are like, man, you ain't do your rundown. Don't worry about that. I'm gonna get back to my rundown. I want to go ahead and get to my spotlight real quick. You heard me? So, a Kentucky State student athlete is honored as a civic leader. So, who is this young man, and what the world did he do? So, Kentucky State University senior track and field cross country student athlete Cameron Galloway has been honored by the Institute for Sports and Social Justice. What the young man done did? What he did? So, the only collegiate student athlete recipient, Galloway will be officially honored as a 2020 National Student Athlete Day giant step honoree as a civic leader during the organization's gala. Due to the pandemic, the gala's date hasn't been announced. Okay. So I'm honestly honored to accept this award because I was selected from student athletes worldwide, said Galloway. Out of all the nominees, I was the best candidate for this award. It also means a lot to me due to my determination to make other situations better through my own experiences. Winning this award puts me up there with names like four-time Olympian Shantae Lowe, which shows the significance behind this award. Galloway continued, I'm always downplaying my life's success, but this one is something that I'm very proud to accept and honored to be mentioned as a civic leader. Giant Steps honorees are chosen in conjunction with the annual celebration of National Student Athlete Day. National Student Athlete Day takes place on April 6th and honors high school and collegiate student athletes who have achieved excellence in academics and athletics while contributing to their communities. He was nominated by the award by his coach, Fatima Shabazz. So one time for the young man, Cameron Galloway. He says he is truly honored to be named your Institute for Sports and Social Justice 2020 National Student Athlete Giant Step Civic Leader. Now, you know me with my HBCU spotlight. I do my HBCU spotlight so we can, first of all, know what's going on in the world of HBCU sports, but also celebrate the people who are doing big things in the world of HBCU sports. So Cameron Galloway being a civic leader, so that means that my man is active in this community. That's what that means. Some of y'all might have heard me reading, like, civic leader, what the hell that mean, really? That means that Buddy is heavily active in his community, and his actions from his community activism is helping to improve the conditions and lives of others. And we don't celebrate that enough in our black people, and especially in our athletes, right? Because we're not just celebrating his athletic prowess, we're celebrating his giving back to this community, because I believe as black people in America, we all have some type of obligation to make sure our communities are in better shape than it was when we got there because of the people who came before us. So I like everybody to go ahead and put your hands together for the young man, Cameron Galloway, and make sure you clap like this. Clap like you ain't never clapped before. You better clap like your mama life depended on that thing, you know, right? You better know that. Cameron Galloway, I want everybody around the world to celebrate this young man. You better celebrate that man. Hallelujah. Because it's really going fast. One time for the young up and coming, young strapper, young Thundercat. Cameron. You heard me? Hey, so I got the homies on the line. We ain't even finished. I'm going to bring y'all into the spotlight because this is how we do this, because this is going to start off this discussion, because this is a good discussion. So as I mentioned earlier, these two gentlemen, we actually went to the same high school, played ball together growing up. They was a whole lot better than me in basketball. My job was to get rebounds and foul, and everybody else's job was to score. So I was like, undersized Dennis Rodman, who really wasn't trying to fight nobody, but I can rebound and I can fire the hell out of your ass. So that was my job. But these gentlemen have been on the podcast before, so everybody who are all our new listeners, they are the hosts of the Nothing Over the Moon podcast. So give it up. I want everybody to put your hands together for the homies, Cam and Mike. Welcome to the Fix One podcast, fellas. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, yeah. Joe. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. What's going on, fella?
Man, same day, different toilet.
I'll got to drop that shit.
Yeah, sometimes you got to drop it.
Right. That's what's up. Hey, man, so how is the podcast been going?
Man, it's been going. I'll tell you this. Our last recorded session happened May the 7th. Now, the reason why we haven't been recording as often is because of the situation with the COVID-19. We did do a kind of a go-to meeting podcast. However, you know, we'll get back to our regular schedule the scheduled program, you know, very soon. So trust me, all of our fans out there, the Nothing Above the Moon podcast, we're back. We didn't get kicked off YouTube for some of our views or Spotify or, you know, Facebook or anything like that where you can find our episodes at. However, you know, we're going to be back, and we're going to be coming back stronger than ever.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Nah, because, you know, we here, we always like to make sure we supporting everybody else who out there doing, especially this media thing, this black media thing. It's needed. Like, we need to be having these conversations. Like, because, you know, when you're watching, like, ESPN or Fox Sports 1, and you see two white guys from white America who never really had the black experience outside of maybe athletics, but not a real understanding of it, and they're trying to break down what's going on in black America, especially during these times with all these protests going on. And it kind of irked me to see them kind of give their logic to it. And we know from our lived experience that logic that they're trying to give, even though it comes from good intentions, it's still not going to keep us alive. You know what I'm saying?
I think anytime it's like me telling them, it's like me trying to counsel a woman through labor. You know, I can't be a woman. I can't physically carry a baby, so I can't emotionally, you know, feel her. I can emotionally feel her pain, but I physically can't feel her pain. And I think a lot of people who are our white counterparts believe you can sympathize, but you really can't empathize because you have to really go through it to be a part of that struggle. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, explain that to certain people because they just see it a certain way. And I never ask somebody to truly agree with me. I just want you to understand. So then you can create some type of empathy in your mind that you can say, oh, okay, I get it. So, you know, some of these white media people are starting to empathize. You have a few out there that, you know, they're just going to be them just because they got a specific target audience.
Right. Now, I'm with you. Definitely. I do understand that, and that's a good point. I'm glad you did say that, like, because that does need to be understood that they do have a specific audience, and they do have a message that they are tasked to be given to these audiences. So it is, even though it is damaging to us, that's still another example of why our media is so important. So, what's up, Mike?
What's up, bro?
What's good with you, man?
I'm just chilling, man. Chilling. Another beautiful Saturday out here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. All them Houston Rockets going to win in that bubble. That's what I want to know.
You already know, man. You can put the Monstars in that bubble. I'm still going for the Rockets, man. All day.
There you go. Hey, man, so I sent y'all a list of topics, but it's a couple that I want to slide in there as well. Not to extend anything, but topics that I came across after I sent you all the list of topics for the show. So, like, just to kind of conclude this HBCU spotlight, though, I want to get y'all opinion on black college, well, top high school athletes attending HBCUs, rather top high school athletes attending white schools. Do you all think it's necessary that top black high school talent go to HBCUs? You think it's time for that to happen? Or you think a lot of people who want top black college athletes or top black high school athletes, they should just go wherever they need to go because that's just how it is right now. What y'all think?
You want to start off, Mike, or you want me to do it?
Yeah, that's interesting, man. With the to answer your question, I don't think it's necessary for them to go to a HBCU, but it would also be good for more of them to get to a HBCU. And I think really what it boils down to is what the whatever the needs of the actual individual is. You know, at the moment, you know, if you tend to go to a certain school, let's say you want to go to Duke for basketball or North Carolina for basketball. A lot of things in that school as far as the facilities, the alumni program, different things, a better place for those guys to have a better chance to get to where they need to go with. So it'd be nice if all schools were set up that way and they were all equal so you could pick whatever school you want to go to. But in reality, you got to kind of pick what's best for you and what's best for your career. You know what I mean? You want to go to a non-basketball school that was an HBCU just because it was an HBCU. You would go to a basketball school, which was a,
right,
you know, a non-HBCU. So I don't think it's necessarily a need for them to go there or a necessity for them to go there, but it would be nice to see it. Yeah.
Okay. 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 What about you, Cam?
I beg to differ a little bit with my counterpart. Not drastically, but I would say the need is kind of like, I look at the way certain schools get funding in certain areas. And you know, mm-hmm, how certain schools get funded in certain areas because of the, basically the economic structure in certain areas. So if you look at like our city, like if you go out to the Cologne area schools, or if you go maybe to, you know, going out to the schools going out there by Mahan, like Lincoln or something like that, those schools get funded because of the area and the economic growth in that area, right? But if you go, right, to, you know, and Rickards recently got the school redid, and that's great. You know, it took a while, but it did. And it was for a long time the newest school on the block before Childs came in. However, the structure of that, the South Side doesn't have the economic growth or the structure to have certain dollars go into that community to feed the schools to make them just as good or A-plus schools, as they put it on these categories, or like 1 to 10, as the schools in these other areas. So the way I kind of feel like about certain kids going to like 5-star recruits or 4-star recruits going to HBCUs is the same way like Nike or Reebok or Adidas looks at anything. They're going where the talent's at. And they're going to put their money and resources in certain places to have to create exposure for these certain HBCUs. We know about them. And that one kid who Mr. Maker, who chose to go to Howard,
right,
and he picked that over UCLA, he chose to go there because he specifically wanted to get more people to follow to go to certain HBCUs because HBCUs, we know, over the last 15 to 20 to 30 plus years, HBCUs have been struggling to get funding. We know when the budget is created for state schools in this state, Florida State, Florida are going to eat it up, you know, and then FAMU is just going to get some of the crumbs. They're just recently building a new, I think it's an apartment complex facility on FAMU or some type of, I'm not sure, they're building something on FAMU.
They're the new dorm.
Right. Yeah. And that has been, and you know, and some of that is based off on the alumni giving. They should have been given a little bit more to help FAMU, and then, right, you know, compared to what FSU gets. However, my main point is these kids, is it a need? I believe so. The exposure, if you're good enough, you're going to get exposure regardless. And what ESPN, right, do, ESPN is just like anybody. They're going to sell guns to each side. They're trying to, right, market the best schools with the best talent to catch eyes on TV. If it says Howard to FAMU to South Carolina State, they could care less because they want eyes to watch the best talent. And once you start getting those marketing dollars and some of that, those dollars from these big-time shoe brands to start donating to these schools to build these schools up, then you start to get the facilities up, then you start to get the TV exposure up, then you start making people come. They always, what's the old classic saying? You build it, they'll come. And that's, yeah, how I kind of look at it.
Yeah. I'm not even past the need, because I understand where Mike come from, because the way it's been for so long, these schools like Duke and North Carolina are premier basketball schools because of the talent they were able to acquire. Now, if what's his name, Makua Maker. Like Cam mentioned, like, so if people don't know, Makua Maker, like you said, was a 7-foot high school basketball phenom. He's ranked 17th in the class of 2020. He decided to go to Howard over a PWI, UCLA, which most people don't do that. But looking at the basketball structure, North Carolina A&T pretty much dominated MEAC when it came to just sports, period. I think North Carolina A&T dominated the MEAC when it came to everything but academics. That's when FAMU came in. But when it comes to athletics, North Carolina A&T straight dominated. So I do think that's where kind of, that's where research come in, and then you picking school. Cause I'm with you. If I'm if I want to play pro basketball, I'm FAMU probably not gonna be the school I pick to go to. It's probably not. But if I do go to FAMU, and let's say I'm just that good, like I go to FAMU and I elevate the talent at FAMU, that could change some things. So it is some sacrifice of some of these players. I mean, I want all, I ain't gonna lie, I want all top black talent, whether it's academic or athletic, to go to HBCUs. I do, because it can increase the wealth at HBCUs. But the way the thing is set up right now, a lot of these players are choosing these white schools because the white schools got all the resources and stuff, just to be real. So I get where both coming from, but I ain't going to lie. I want all the players to go to HBCUs. That's just me. So.
I got you. Aside, mature makers and fine makers, if anybody was curious. Fine makers can play for the Bucks for a while. I think he's going to be young enough. Got what you're playing for now, but he's going to be pretty good.
Right. Yeah, we're going to see. So, That concludes my HBCU spotlight that I usually play my music, but I ain't going to play my music so we can get this thing going on today. So, sports and politics, or sports and, like, social activism. I just want to bust this wide open right this. So, you know, the NFL, have y'all heard about the NFL playing the Black National Anthem before the games?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, me too.
See you laugh.
Just every voice dancing to urban heaven ring. I had to learn that song. And I learned that in elementary school.
We did too. So, now what's crazy is, and it's not crazy, not the more I think about it, but here, the black side of Tallahassee, like you said, we had to learn it. I don't know anybody who don't know the Black National Anthem that's black. Like, if you don't know it, we looking at you like something wrong with you. Like, you must have grew up with white people or something. But see, Mike, you laugh when I said it. So, you think it's bullshit?
Yeah, I think it is, man. I think it's pandering. I think it's a
good.
Pandering by the NFL. It's progress, but it's still, like, the worst kind of progress. You know what I mean? NFL is trying to save that money, keep the money flowing and everything. And so, to me, it's just a bad example of pandering, to answer your question.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, that's why I want to talk about it, because that's how I feel about it. I feel like the NFL is full of shit, and it's trying to cover its butt, just like a lot of these corporations, because saying Black Lives Matter and doing those little anecdotal things right now is trendy now. And if you're not doing it, then you the racist people. You know, that's how I feel. What about you, Cam?
Same way, man. I mean, honestly, man, I'm tired of all the shucking and jiving. You know, we need policies done. We need resources allocated to that. Singing the Black National Anthem is cool, but it's not like it's gonna be. You know what was so strange when people, because, you know, today is July 4th, right? It's America's Independence Day, right? And if you break down what independence means, it doesn't mean independence for everybody. We know at this period piece at this time, July 4th, what, 1776, is that black folks were still enslaved, right? Now, 1865, you know, technically it was 1863, but 1865 is when we celebrate Juneteenth, and I literally was looking online, and it was a lot of white folks that didn't even know this date even existed.
Right.
They don't even know they're gonna hear this song and like, what is this? And personally, what I believe, honestly, they shouldn't play nothing at the football. It's a football game. Why are we playing national anthem type music at a football game? It's the most illogical thing to do at a sporting event. You come there to watch people get buckets, score touchdowns, throw something in a hockey rink. I could care less about national allegiance, and we already know why they're doing it. But it's strange that people want to have – bro, when I go to a game, I want to say – all I want to do is hear the whistle or that sound of the scoreboard. Let's go.
That's it. That's it.
Let's go. That's my favorite national anthem. When you hear that?
The sound of
the scoreboard. Let's go. I'll be looking at all the opposing people. I'll be dancing on the sideline. You ready? Let's go.
Let's go. Nah, but see, what's all bullshit about it is we know the NFL was paid by the military to do the national anthem and all that stuff in the first place. Like, we know that. Like, this is all advertised. But to take something that's advertising that got dollars behind it and try to act like it's an honest act of patriotism for the country. And then when you got somebody who used that as a springboard to do his peaceful protest 4 years ago. And see, the NFL can kiss my whole ass. Roger Goodell can kiss my whole ass. Bruh. So you mean to tell me 4 years ago, with the same fucking technology we got today, nobody was seeing the videos 4 years ago? Like, nobody was seeing the videos 4 years ago. Only black people saw those videos 4 years ago when Colin first took the knee. That's why I'm like, they full of shit. Like, you can't tell me you had no idea what was going on now. Granted, it was more distractions because COVID wasn't going on. So I do believe that with this Rona going on, you got a lot of people can't be distracted by sports or anything else. But come on, man, y'all, they all this money, all this access they got, they know what the hell the man was kneeling by. Don't be trying to act like y'all friends now. That's that bullshit.
Exactly, man. 100% agree with you, man. That's just a bad example of pandering, man. NFL doing the business thing, man. They got to watch that bottom line. Like you said earlier, it's trendy. It's cool now to make sure that you're, you know, for Black Lives Matter and, you know, equality and all type of stuff. So that's what it is, man, watching that bottom line. And honestly, even though it sucks, I can't blame Roger Goodell in the NFL because that's his job. He's a commissioner in the NFL's job to watch the bottom line, make sure the league properly. So essentially he's doing his job, but that's the way it is in America, man.
Well, yeah, and I do agree he's doing his job, but my problem with him is he's now trying to play both sides, though, because Roger Goodell is, you know, he was a part of that bullshit tryout at camp. I mean, Colin Kaepernick got, because him and Stephen A. Smith and some other people working behind the scenes to try to make that trash happen, and it happened and it backfired on him. But Roger Goodell, my biggest problem with him in this is just if you're down with the owners, just be down with the owners. Don't be trying to be down with the owners and down with the people at the same time. Because we see you, bro, and we don't like you, and we see you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen what he actually get paid. His salary is
40 million, 44 million, something like that.
No, it's 40 million.
Okay.
Yeah, he get paid more than a lot of the players.
Yeah.
So we already know he's there for the owner. So $40 million check, lifetime health care. Doesn't he get like a private plane or something too? I mean, it's something. I mean, he has some outlandish demands, and he got them.
Right.
So
right. Yeah, they crazy for it, man. I just want them to know that we see them. That's all I want them to know. Like, we the smart folk, we see what's going on, and it's more like, don't see me on fire and give me a slice of pizza. Like, that's what that's gonna do for me. How the hell that's gonna help me put the fire out?
You know, give you a slice of pizza, you burn it up.
I fed him. Bitch, I'm on fire.
I That's a great analogy, dude. I like that, man.
Hey, hey, so with this COVID out, I know Cam mentioned that you all have, well, we all have been affected by COVID. It's affected how we record, how everybody records, and it's affected how businesses operate. Do you all think, and I want to start with you, Cam, do you think sports should return in the middle of this damn pandemic or something that we still learning about, or should people just stay their asses at home and wait till like 2021?
Man, you know, I've been tossing and turning with that one because selfishly, you know, I want to see sports.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this concentrated time that everybody has to be at home and focusing on things that we need to focus on, like information in the news, just even on yourself or your family, I believe, me and a buddy was discussing this, I believe 2020 is a wasted year. I believe that this year is over. It's a throwaway. We started off with Kobe passing away, and tragically, and then obviously, and then other things happening with you know just other world events, and you know this upcoming election, and I believe at this point in time that, with this COVID that's spreading and that's, you know, and I still don't know what it really means, honestly. You know, I don't know what COVID-19 mm-hmm. is. I'm not sitting up and saying it doesn't exist. I want people to understand that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I believe it exists. I just don't know what it is, you know, because it sounds like a combination of a few things, like the flu, pneumonia, the cold, you know.
We're still learning this thing. We don't know enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So I personally believe that no sports should be played. Only thing, hey, I love college football, man. I love and for me, I want to see Florida State, you know, whoop on the Gators, whoop on, you know. I want to see FAMU do what they do, you know, finally beat Bethune. That made me mad last year. So,
man.
So it's things I want to see selfishly, but for the greater good, I think we all need to refocus ourselves and kind of focus in and figure out what's really good for all of us as a whole, not just individuals as it pertains to trying to get the economy back up with money and having people spend their dollars on watching sporting events or going to sporting events, which they can't. But I just think we should focus in on this COVID situation and other things. So, no sports.
Yeah.
Well, dang, that was tough. Time.
Hey, ooh, no, I feel the same way. How about you, though, Mike?
I agree with Cam to a certain extent. Like I said, I'm in the same boat as most of us, man. Selfishly, we do want to see sports return. You know what I mean? So, for me to say no sports, man, that's kind of tough, man, because you got to look at it from the actual the players and everybody who's involved in it also. We know it's a thing about money, man, but you know, if they don't play sports this year, a lot of those TV contracts, there's causes in those TV contracts, they're going to end up losing a lot of money in the salary cap and everything next year. So for the safety of people, I understand. I get it. It's probably the best thing to do. I'm not 100% saying sports shouldn't come back. I'm going to say no. I like what the NBA is doing. If they're able to keep it in that bubble situation, even though it's not going to keep it right now, if they're able to keep it in that bubble situation and make it to where guys can go out and play, and everybody can be safe and cool for it. So to answer your question, I would like sports to be back as long as it can be done safely. If they can do it safely, then I'm cool. I'm down for it.
Yeah. Now, I've prepared myself for sports not to come back. But I've prepared myself particularly for football because football is the one sport that I don't see how you keep it safe from spreading COVID. Because with the NBA taking over Disney World, you can contain all that. Just be like, hey, you can't leave this bubble. If you leave this bubble, your ass ain't coming back. I don't care who you are. So I get that, and they're doing it for 2 months, but I don't see how football can happen. And I love football. Like I need football to be back. But I don't see how do you put whole leagues in bubbles? How do you put whole conferences in bubbles? Like, you can't do that for 12 to 16, 17 weeks plus the playoffs. And then because I was watching Shannon and Skip, and Shannon made a good point. Some of these professional football teams, they have as many coaches on the coaching staff as NBA players have on their roster, or even more.
Yeah, it's true.
And so, and then, like, the physical nature of football, just the contact sport, like, I can – if you hit somebody right, you can spread COVID. If you spit in the wrong place, you can spread COVID. Just talking to somebody with the juicy mouth, you can spread COVID. Like, that's the one sport, like hockey, football, stuff like that, I don't see how it can come back. Basketball, I see you can contain it. Boxing, UFC and stuff, I can see how you can contain it with the testing and quarantining and putting people in certain spaces for days. But football is the one sport, my favorite sport. I just don't see how it's going to happen no time soon without no vaccine. I don't know.
Exactly. And UFC been doing an okay job at every turn. They did have a fight that got canceled recently because of COVID, but they've been doing an okay job of keeping those guys contained and everything to where they can, you know, still show some, still get some fights and everything on TV. But once again, it's a one-on-one sport for most of the outside of your, you know, your coaches and your cutmen and everything in the corner. You don't really need a bunch of people in the area to put together a UFC fight. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Right. I won't see it tonight when this is safe. Now,
this is a two-part question. The question, you've had your first question, but would you watch it?
I'm not gonna lie. Yes, I would. If they played on the COVID, I would watch. I would just hope it don't get spread. I ain't gonna lie. Being honest. If football come back today, I'm canceling the rest of my day. I ain't even gonna lie to you.
Oh, trust me, the NBA football come back. I say yes, but it's a natural contradiction in yourself because that happens to be one of the greatest joys that can. Because I always say the only thing that makes sense in this world to me, I can study history, I can study Black history, I can study European history, I can study world history, I can study Indian, I can study all history, right? And I can find like contradictions in everything. But the only thing that makes sense to me at the end of the day is sports. You get on that court, you get on that field, you have an objective in mind. Ties don't make sense, but at the end of the day, we don't have champions based off of ties. You win, you lose, you go home. And I love it. It's just so finite, and But, you know, that's just being me selfishly. If it comes on, it's a done deal. Every Saturday, I'm in the house for 10 hours plus.
Yeah. Nah.
And that's not good. That's not good because I could be focusing and people like.
So, because it's
10 hours plus.
I tell the ladies, look, Thursday through Monday, football come on. Now, that don't mean you're going to get ignored, but I'm just letting you know football is on and it's going to get watched. Now, we can find a way that I can best watch this and still entertain you. But it's getting watched at the end of the day. The constant is going to be football getting watched. Like, so you need to understand that. Now the other side of the coin with this is you have the concerns of if sports come back, it'll take the attention away from the protest. Do you believe that either one of you believe that sports coming back right now will take attention away from the protest?
I think it'll take a small amount of attention away, but I don't think it's going to engulf it. Fred VanVleet was saying about coming back to play and the movement and everything, whatever. And he was like, the way he described it was, it made sense to me. He was basically saying that, you know, it's a long process. You know what I'm saying? Us not playing basketball today, the systematic racism is going to end tomorrow. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you're saying, okay, let's sit out now and not take away from the movement, then what are you going to do next year? The problem's still going to be there next year. It's a long process. It's moving, but it's a long process. So if you want to take this principle stand right now and use the movement as a reason for you not playing basketball or whatever it may be, then you should be saying the same thing until it gets completely fixed, which we all know is going to take a very long time. You know, that's why it's called systematic, because built into the system of things. You know what I mean? In order to break that, you have to break the actual system itself. So you can't be on both sides of the fence. If you want to be this, you know, stand up, hey, I'm not going to play basketball until everybody, you know, racism is ended, then you ain't going to be playing basketball for the rest of your life, because it's going to take a long time for things to get the way they need to be. So, you know, what do you have here? You go ahead and play now and continue working on the progress, continue putting the same effort in. Don't play now, and then all of a sudden you decide it's okay to play next year, but it's the same things are still going to be going on. So to go back to your original question, I think it will take away at some point, but I don't think players should be using that as a reason not to play. You can use that same platform. You can be in front of the media all the time. Use that same platform to further push the discussion versus a tweet that everybody might not see. But if everybody watching basketball, you got a post-game interview, you can talk about the game, whatever you got to talk about. But afterwards, you know, put some of your views out there. You know, continue to push the narrative. I mean, so I think it's a good thing to come back and play if you continue to push the narrative, you know, and not just let it fade away. It only fade away if they let it fade away. So.
Okay. What about you, can play or not to play?
Man, I think it would naturally take a little bit of the attention away. It's kind of like the same situation where the George Floyd situation happened, right? When that happened, people forgot about COVID. I mean, and maybe that was just a little bit of people being frustrated, because, you know, we all know some of that, we believe that is infiltrated by different people. You know, you could say, I don't even know what NTP is. Somebody explained that to me, and all people just got out there and just start, you know, doing what they needed to do, peaceful protesting and looting. But people forgot about COVID, and then it's almost like, hey, you remember this COVID thing? Now, I'm not saying to the extreme. I mean, that's an apple and oranges comparison, because we're talking about literally life and death compared to somebody playing a sport. However, you know, people would learn how to compartmentalize the fact that sports is on, and to just push the other stuff to the side. Because news is just sensationalism, so they're going to report things that's just going to constantly be the most important topic to get people up in arms. And what I believe is that what Mike was saying is that, you know, obviously the players will bring attention to it, NBA, NFL, whatever the case might be, kneeling, wearing Black Lives Matter T-shirts. They're having Black Lives Matter on the court in Orlando, I heard. Some attention will be taken away from it. Not a lot, but it depends on, like, at the end of the day, I look at it like this, like Mike was saying. It's systematic racism is still going to happen. It's not going to change because sports is happening. So you're still going to have people behind the scenes and actually in front of the scenes speaking about that to talk about what needs to be changed. And that's going to continue to happen based off on from here till 20 to 50 years from now. It's just that people are thinking that once sports happens, that it's going to go away. And I don't believe that. I think sports is just a different platform that can offer a different voice for it. A little bit is going to go, but not a lot.
Right. Now, I do believe the distraction more so will be for white America than black America. And I think that's what some of the players are talking about. Because for black America, sports won't be a distraction. It'll be an escape, because we can't stop living this blackness. Like, we've been doing this since they brought us here. So sports is like our shot of liquor. I smoke them a joint. It's an escape. But for white America, I do believe that white America would be distracted. Now, I think we have to look at everything too in perspective. Because a couple weeks ago, I was on this podcast saying that I think the players who want it, first of all, they need to be genuine. Kyrie Irving was leading a group of players to say don't play after he found out he couldn't come to the bubble because he was injured. And if you ain't playing, you ain't coming. And so I think that's disingenuous on Kyrie Irving's end to lead a march, lead the surge like this with all the information and everything surrounding it, all because you're mad that they're not going to let you into the bubble. But the idea behind it, though, is we need to focus on social issues, but also looking at the perspective of the momentum has died over the last couple weeks in the protests and everything. Attention is toward bringing down statutes and stuff like that. So it ain't really on the original issue anyway. The media done already spent. But also, looking at athletes are not activists, but athletes can be active. And so we have people who dedicate their lives, like just like we have professional athletes. Like, I'm an activist, but if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers call me to come play wide receiver, y'all going to be looking at them like they crazy. But if we call just any random athlete to be an activist, nobody thinks about, well, maybe he shouldn't be saying that. Maybe he said something like something he shouldn't have said because maybe he's not an activist. But I do, now looking at it, I do think that's where strategy and things come in at. So, yes, it will take attention away. But if you bring sports back and we're organized to where we have a system going on, athletes are playing because the money that's coming from that going to fund the movement, then we can have some things going on. But I think one of the biggest things is we will have some distraction because we still on our end don't have no organization. But the distraction more so would be for white America than black America. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement what you said about the athlete and the activist thing. Now, it makes perfect sense. I never really thought about it that way, man. But like you were saying about them calling you up to be a wide receiver versus, an athlete being called up to be an activist.
Right.
Everybody's the correct person to be an activist. You can't just make them an activist.
Right. Because I was looking at Skip and Shannon, and Skip was lobbying for the point that he literally said he thought LeBron James as an activist would be more powerful or more impactful than Dr. King. And I'm like, how? And like, if LeBron James went to speak on behalf of Black America, he would be more impactful than Dr. King because how popular he is. With him not understanding, it's not about popularity. It's about, can I get the job done? And Dr. King is more prepared to get that job done than a LeBron James who spent his life training to be an athlete.
I mean, Muhammad Ali was probably the only exception to that rule where I felt like he actually put his prophetic words into action where he actually took a stand. I mean, he is the boxing champ of the world, and he changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. And before Muhammad Ali became beloved by mainstream America, just like Dr. Martin Luther King, they hated him. And trust me, I know that we all know this for a fact. It brings an interesting question with you, speaking about Dr. Martin Luther King. Was his death more impactful than George Floyd's death? Because it seems that George Floyd's death, murder, both of them was murdered, was more impactful on a world economic scale. Literally, you have people pulling money from the Washington, Redskins, which is a derogatory word, pulling money from that. You have people canceling this, pulling down statues. But somebody said a long time ago, the revolution is no different than it was 30 to 40 years ago, just being televised. So,
yeah.
I think
the real impact of George Floyd's death remains to be seen, because we've been here before as black people. The difference now is the changing of the names of streets or the taking down the statues or seeing more non-black people out in the streets fighting for black people, which we've never seen before like this. And I think that's one of some of the differences. But I still think the impact of George Floyd, it remains to be seen, because it was real tangible change that happened with Dr. King's death rather than symbolic change that's happening right now with George Floyd's death. And I think that's one of the differences. If you talk about on a popularity scale, it may be more impactful on a popularity scale, but on a tangible scale, nah, because nothing's changed. Like, We still got stories of black people still being killed by police. I'm still trying to figure out what's so polarizing about George Floyd's death, more so than anybody else's death, because that's the one death that spurred everything, even though the death before, during, and after.
No, I agree to that.
What I think on that is what Cam touched on a while back is COVID. You know what I mean? If the world was moving like it normally is, business opened up, everybody got movies and different stuff, and the focus wouldn't be there. But the fact that we're all sitting at home isolated, everybody grabbed onto it.
Yeah.
And
it's
sad that it happened, but it happened at the perfect time.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I agree with that too.
So kind of keep the thing moving because we know we're on the time limit. So I want to at least get these last two topics in. So, Cam, you mentioned it. With the Washington blank blanks, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I am loving that this is happening. It should have been happening. But, all right, let's put this into perspective about Washington changing their name, their nickname. All right, I'm going to put it to you like this, right? So all my listeners, Mike, Cam, and I, we all went to the same high school. They graduated 2 years before me. Now, how many people can say that they went to a high school, they all went to a high school together, but they graduated under different mascots? So, gentlemen, what mascot did you all graduate under?
That word.
Right. Literally, it was changed from that word to Raiders. My 11th grade year in 2000, when we started school, we were the Rickards Raiders. We were no longer the Rickards R words. And we were told the name had to be changed because it was derogatory. That was in 2000. And so here we are, 2020, and Washington still has the name. And they're trying to say it's not derogatory because they found a couple of satellite Native Americans to get on their side and say it. But it's like, bro, they made us change our damn mascot name. What? Let's just be real, though. Leon County schools don't have the money that the Washington Redskins have to be able to keep the name, to keep people quiet, to keep the name. Let's just be real. So that lived experience for us lets you know that they full of shit, and Dan Snyder need to be out of there. They need to burn the whole franchise down and start over because I'm saying that as a Dallas Cowboys fan too. I really hate the Reds. The R words. I almost said it. I'm so used to saying it.
I already said it, so yeah. I need to stop doing that. My damn self. R words.
Right. But how do you all feel about FedEx and all these other corporations and Nike? All of them having to, first of all of them just choosing to do this now, but all of them having to do this to try to force the hand for Dan Snyder to change the name of the Washington franchise.
I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Nike pulled all the Redskins stuff off their website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything with the Redskins name? Okay. Yeah, so it's like, I think it's a good thing, man. You got to change the team name, man. And the thing about it is, man, just like us, you know, we went to Rickards, man, and you know, that was our school name or whatever, and we kind of was like, all right, it is what it is. But when they decided to change it, it wasn't an uproar. It's like, okay, cool, we understand.
It was, right.
It's offensive. It is what it is. Yeah, so these big companies, that's why they never understood, man. We're not asking you to come out here and be – you don't have to go and try to join that particular nation or that tribe or the Indians. Just understand that it's offensive to somebody else. It's a simple process, man. So them putting the pressure on Dan Snyder and the team is well needed, but it shouldn't have to be done like that. You know what I mean? Just change it over, man. You got money, just change it over. Come up with something more clever. Have the fans vote on it. You know what I'm saying? Come up with something clever. Just got to get a new name for your team and keep it moving.
Right. Washington losers sound real good to me. You know what I'm saying? So.
I agree as well. You know, just change the name, man. I mean, you know, I've been so. We went to a high school that was had that name, the R word, and you know, even at that time, you know, self-consciously we knew it was wrong. However, we just continued to use that word because it was just one of those things. Is as like we all look back at it now, we know certain things that we were doing were wrong. So once you realize in your mindset, like, we can't do this no more, that might have been the time for that piece, and it shouldn't have been that time for that piece. What we need to make change, and that's just as simple as that. Yeah. I don't know why the Washington franchise wants to keep a hold of that word, because we know that word is literally the derogatory word. It doesn't honor any type of Native American tribe.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Like, and if you got whole organizations, you got groups of people. No, because that's like Candace Owens don't speak for black people. Candace Owens speak for Candace Owens. So if you get one Candace Owens say, "Oh, black people don't suffer from systematic racism," well, hold up. She don't speak for us. She's a sellout. She's only talking for her own personal gain. Now, white America use these people because they're like, well, this one black person or these handful of black people said that everything was cool. So if they say everything's cool, everything's cool. The rest of you Negroes over here lying, because these good Negroes say it's cool. And that's the same thing with Redskins. They found a couple of Native Americans who said it's not derogatory, and they ran with it. And Daniel Snyder has been under fire for that forever. Just change the damn name. It's just that simple. That I don't get it, man. I don't get it. So, and speaking of name change, right? Dope Campbell Stadium. So going to college football, Florida State University. What is petitions to change the name of Dope Campbell Stadium. And so I never really cared to study the history of Dope Campbell or FSU on that level. But doing all this that's going on, kind of learned more about Dope Campbell, and he was more of an anti-black person. And so Cam, I'm going to go ahead. Cause I know we talked briefly about this. Cam, I'm going to go ahead and let you light his ass up first. Now, what's on your mind about this?
Now, before I light this man up, let me tell you who I actually thought Dope Campbell was. And let me tell you why reading is fundamental and researching is educational. So your mind is literally fixated on a one-track course of your football team or whatever team you like, you tend to blind everything else out because you're only educated to the players that you know about and the coaches who coach that team and the championships they win. You can care less what the stadium name means, the field, anything else. And that's how I was, literally, and I'm not going to sip in, literally, until no more than a couple of weeks ago. I literally picked up, I said, I thought Dope Campbell played football. I didn't know he was like this president of FSU who was a segregationist. So
yeah.
So when I found out that new information, my mind was blown. And I heard a lot of FSU fans said, well, nobody knew about it before. Why is it a big deal now? That's like, what? That's almost like finding out your dad is a murderer, and you find out that now what do you do with the information from here on out? Do you go tell the police? Tell someone? What do you do? You know, and the right thing to do is to take that name down. He left this world as a segregationist. He didn't leave this world saying that he felt that black folks and white folks should be at the same university. Right now, if he came down from the spirit world, he'd be turning in his grave. He'd be turning in the stadium. He'd look like, what am I watching? You know, because he wouldn't have wanted that. So take that bullshit down. Now, am I going to stop liking, is it okay to cuss on your podcast, man? I'm sorry, man. I just went hard.
Shit, damn, hoe, fuck, booty hole, say all that. You good.
Okay. I'm sorry. You can bleep that out if you want to. But
nah, you're good.
Would it change my? The reason why I like FSU, and newscast to everybody, because those players, when I grew up, I see myself in them because they was black players coming from the same type of neighborhoods I came from. That's why I like FSU. I love Charlie Ward. I love Deion. I seen myself in those guys. That's why I love FSU football. You know, and that's what attracted me to FSU football. Nothing more, nothing less. Dolt Campbell, that name should be changed to Bobby Bowden Field, or you could change it to Seminole Tribe Field. You could change the field name to Bobby. The field is already named after Bobby Bowden. Heck, you could change it to Charlie Ward because he was the first one to bring you a national championship.
Right.
So FSU, I know FSU is going to do the right thing. There's going to be a lot of mad FSU fans, but what are they going to do? What are they really going to say? We don't want to recruit some of the top athletes to our school anymore because of this situation. Come on, they better get a grip. Or they're going to be looking, or they're going to get they, or actually, I might have to switch out on FSU and might pick a different school.
Hey,
and I never thought I'd say that.
Whoa. Hey, fam, you just moved to the SWAC, fam. You need all the support they need, they can get. So come on back across these tracks.
Oh, I never left.
Okay.
That was probably,
okay.
Ooh, I just follow FSU more, to be quite honest with you. Yeah, Mike, that was powerful words, right? I can't believe I ever said I would switch out. Oh, Florida. I literally got a Florida State. Yeah. You never thought you'd hear the words from me. Me switch out on Florida State?
Hey, nah, but I feel you though, but it's you like Florida State. You've been rocking with Florida State forever, but you're a black person first, and you see what's really going on. So.
Yes, make it right. That's it. We live in a time now. People talk about cancel culture. Just make it right and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Name it after Bobby Bowden. I'm pretty sure Bobby Bowden had moments when he was growing up in Alabama. But from what I can tell now from that man, he has become the elderly grandfather that everybody loves and speaks very highly of. But say Bobby Bowden grew up in the 1930s and 40s and he didn't have moments, would be
– He had his moments. Yeah, he support Trump. So Bobby Bowden still have his moments. Bobby Bowden one of the white people who – they're not racist, but they do some shit who support white supremacy, but they themselves are not, like, practicing racist, but they do some shit to support white supremacy. So it's like, I see you, I don't love you, but I don't have any hatred for you, but I do see where you at. So, but Bobby Brown hasn't done anything malicious to not have to not be honored. I will say that.
No, I love Bobby.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? How you feel about it? Change the name and keep it.
Man, about Dolt Campbell, two different people, bro. Change that. I don't even know. I ain't know Dolt Campbell was one person, bro. So, change it, man.
That's how you.
About that was two last names, but I never heard nobody named Dolt in my life, man. So, yeah, man.
I told you, I thought he was a football player. So I'm like, oh. And I told you, my mind was fixated on FSU football.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Man.
Nah, but it's like you're saying, Dolt Campbell was, like, what it say? He was the president of the university from 1941 to 1957, who oversaw the transition of the school from Florida State College for Women to a co-ed and played a role in the construction of the stadium. So he brought FSU to what it is now. I know FSU was segregated for a while. I think a little bit before Bobby got there, FSU became became an integrated school. And I know from there when Bobby brought in these black players, Ron Simmons and a whole host of others, and they changed the course of history for Florida State. Like black athletes literally changed the course of history for this school. And so that's why they have to, like, these white institutions have to really understand. And when you have black athletes come to your school, I do think they should be looking at the communities these people come from to help with these communities, but also they have obligation to take a stand against white supremacy. And if not, like, you really practicing some of the same things that was being practiced during slavery. Like, we're getting all this free labor to get these millions of dollars, and we're still treating these Negroes like shit.
Yes, agreed. That's why most kids are taking advantage. Most kids are taking the route of going to the development league. You know, some kids, football is different, but, man, they need to pay these kids. I guess now that we can start, they can make money off their likeness. It's basically a slave plantation type of atmosphere that people don't look at as slavery because they're saying, well, they have a choice to come to these schools. And, yes, they do. However, as far as the money side, that's the only economic base in the entire capitalistic society that I know of that the actual interns actually makes the money for the organization.
Right.
You know
and
how
the
dollar – right.
Yeah, and then, like, they make the money, and then the rules say that they can't benefit from the money that they make. And something that's supposed to be amateur, why the coaches can make up $10 million, which is bullshit. So,
great, man.
Straight up. Man, so we about to run out of time, but where can people listen to you all's podcast? Where can people go to support you all? How can people follow y'all on a regular basis?
You can check us out on Facebook at nothingaboutthemoonpodcast.com. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes. All by searching the same thing, nothingaboutthemoonpodcast.com. Right now, we're currently in the off-season doing some revamping before we start posting them episodes again. But the content's still out there if you want to listen.
That's what's up. Yeah, y'all, make sure y'all check them out. Everybody who listen to this, go check out the podcast. Go support these brothers, real good brothers who have a real good podcast. And it's not the typical podcast, which I like. And you're going to learn something. You're going to have some fun listening to it. You're going to laugh, all those things there. So, as always, man, I appreciate y'all. You know, I try my best to make sure I have y'all on here regularly because I like the discussions and things that we've been having. We have a lot of fun on here. And I just feel like we got to continue to support each other. So anything I can do to help y'all out, man, y'all let me know and vice versa. If I need it, I definitely reach out. But I know y'all got a time schedule and I want to make sure we keep to it. So I appreciate you all for coming by, man.
Hey, man, always appreciate you, man, having us on your show, man. You keep,
yes, sir.
You keep the movement going, man. You have prophetic words for everybody who's a part of the, you know, part of the culture, and that's the main thing. We preach positivity. We're not preaching anything,
yes,
hateful. We just stating facts, stating truth, and we're trying to live by that truth, by the ancestors that they left us behind. So we have a duty to pick that information up from the ancestors and carry it forward.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I definitely appreciate those words, man. Definitely appreciate that. So with that being said, though, I definitely talk to y'all, gentlemen, in the future. And, man, we're just going to continue doing some things. I got some ideas of some things that we can do moving forward. But, you know, we'll definitely speak on that behind the scenes. But, like I said, I ain't going to hold y'all up. And appreciate y'all again.
Hey, man, appreciate
you.
Bro. All right, man, I'll holler at y'all later.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So thank Cam and Mike, Nothing Above the Moon podcast. I think I messed the name up in the beginning of the podcast, but it's Nothing Above the Moon podcast. Appreciate them gentlemen for stopping by, for rocking with me, getting it in over this past hour. Yeah, man, every time these gentlemen stop by and I stop by their podcast, it's a great time that we have. We have a great time. Talk about some trill stuff. Keep it real, and it is what it is, man. It is what it is. It's good times between podcasters. Hey, and the housekeeping, oh, yeah. Remember, you can catch this for those who are listening to the podcast. There's video to this. We can see me being all animated and stuff. So there is video to the podcast, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Download this episode. Say download this episode. Say download, say download, say download this episode. Make sure y'all download this episode. Tell a friend. Make sure they download the episode. Have them tell a friend. Make sure they download the episode. Make sure they tell a friend. Make sure they download the episode. Check out all our podcasts at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Wherever your favorite podcast platform to listen to, listen to the Fix Sports Podcast. This is, I'm going to keep saying, this is the number one sports podcast in the country. It's the most downloaded sports podcast in the country. It's the most listened to sports podcast in the country. I'm putting this in the atmosphere. Y'all say it with me. It's the most downloaded sports podcast in the country. It's the most listened to sports podcast in the country. And it brings in the most money of any sports podcast in the country. I'm taking these sports and I'm looking at it from my view, the way I look at it, right? Me and my friends have always talked about sports. That's how we're talking about this here on the Speak Sports Podcast. It ain't no other format or structure that you may be used to seeing from sports shows, because this don't come from that. This come from barbershop talk. This come from sitting around with your homeboys talking sports, but y'all know what the fuck y'all talk about. So this is where this come from, man. So shout out to all of my listeners, all the people who watch the podcast, everybody who support the podcast, everybody who support the Freedom Train Network. I love y'all. Thank y'all for supporting black media. And this is just the beginning of something great. Remember, the Freedom Train Radio designed to free your mind. So this is the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward. Two fingers in the air like a flag, because you know I'm up out of here. What's up, Tanny Mike? Black power, you hear me?
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm